The question was asked, now that we understand that when a person is created, so it's declared in Shemaim that they'll have one partner, so how do we encounter the idea that a king could marry 18 wives? When we approach questions of what the Torah permits us to do, we have to analyze two things. A, what's a mitzvah, what's a commandment to do? And B, what does the Torah allow us to do? After we answer that question, we also have to understand, is the Torah talking in an ideal world? And in an ideal world, so what is the Torah instructing us? Let's take an example of the second concept. The Torah gives the death penalty. The Torah says a court can execute. Yes, the person has to be warned, and he has to have an explanation before he does what he does, that it is punishable with the death penalty. There have to be two witnesses who saw the warning and saw the act. And then it could happen once in 70 years that a guy will get the death penalty. And what happens when the nation goes down and they're not on the level that they should be? So the rabbis say, no more death penalty. The Torah never meant for us to be killing people this often. And on the level that the nation's holding, we're going to have to administer the death penalty too frequently. No more death penalty. We're imposing a self-imposed exile. So there's this idea that when the Torah gave mitzvot, the mitzvot are eternal, and yet there are certain elements of the mitzvot or elements of the Torah that correlate with a certain level that the nation has to be on. Like the Chazon Ish is quoted as having said that even if we controlled the government completely today, we would not force people to keep Shabbos. We would not have a Shabbos patrol out there, policemen putting people in jail if they didn't keep Shabbos. We would have better education. We would have a lot of kiruv movements. It wouldn't be only Chabad putting on tefillin for people. We'd have a lot of other positive things to bring people close. But we wouldn't be out there with our guns and our radars and checking and who's on the street on Shabbos. You know, anyone who's on the street, our cameras will automatically give them a ticket after Shabbos. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't enforce Shabbos that way. We would educate. Ah, you're in control. So what? That's not the way of the Torah. Technically, the Torah says if you have a court and you have witnesses, you should do it. Torah was talking about the people at a different stage. We're not holding there. We have to work to get there. So that's introductory. Now, first of all, the Torah does not command the king to marry more than one wife. The king can marry one wife and be successful. Secondly, going to the second point, the Torah is talking to a king who is representative of the greatest of the Jewish people. If it's Shaul in his humility, and as far as I know, we only know of, it's not accurate, Shaul had a concubine. But you have tremendous, tremendous people. People who were not egomaniacs, people who were focused on doing what was good for the crowd. People like David, who sat humbly in a bit midrash and learned Torah. Moshe, no. So when you have someone like that, then you ask a different question. Why are they getting married? What does their marriage look like? It's not about what someone else might be doing when they marry 18 or 20 or 50 wives. When a king marries a wife, when it's David HaMelech who marries a wife, you see an example of this when he loses six of his wives, right? After his wives were violated by Avshalom, so now he can no longer be intimate with them, right? So what does David do? Technically, he could divorce them, leave them on the payroll. They'll stick around. They'll have their tents. He'll treat them nicely. They'll be at all the family events. He'll invite them for dinner every night. But he can't be intimate with them anyway, so he won't be, right? He can't. Halachically, he can't. When we get there, we'll discuss it. Halachically, he no longer can be intimate with them. So let's just write the divorce contract, and the relationship will remain status quo. And then David has a medical need to have another wife. And the doctors tell him the only way he can continue functioning is if he takes on a new wife who's a virgin and she lies at his side, and that's the only way he can be cured of this chills that are driving him crazy. And what does David do? He goes to the high court and he says, Rabbis, I have a problem. I have all 18 wives and there's no way I can divorce any of them. Why can't you divorce any of them? You have six who you're not being intimate with. Right. But you know how much it would hurt them? That they're divorcees of the king, even though everyone knows that I didn't do it by choice, but it would hurt their feelings. I can't do that. So we have to find, tell me how we could work this out halachically so that I could take on this 19th wife, even though I'm not allowed to take on a 19th wife. What can I do because I have this medical need? So David's whole approach, we see it's not about what other people might be thinking when they approach marriage. When a king has wives, so the marriage is something that's to their benefit on many levels, and it's to the benefit of the Jewish people. Torah says, up to a limit. Within a limit, it's going to be good for him and good for the leadership and good for the people. Now, why the Torah says it, I don't know. I don't know what it's like to have a second wife. So I wouldn't know what it's like to have 18. Chazal say that we're not on that level anymore. For us, to have a second wife is catastrophic. That's why we don't do it. But that it's a reflection of us and our wives. It's a reflection of where the generation's holding. It's a reflection of where our marriages are holding. But in ancient times, there were people for whom it was good for them, it was good for their wives, it was a blessing for the world. Okay, when they're on that level. Again, we see a small ember of that we see in what happens with David and those concubines. But that's just a part of it.